One time at orchestra camp, I overheard a cellist making fun of the double bass section. There's this part in Beethoven 5, which for a cello is pretty straightforward. But for the bass, this is one of the audition pieces for youth, conservatory, and professional orchestras. Bass players slave over this part in the third movement. So, as a bass player, I feel compelled to tell people like that cellist why we play the way we do. The double bass. Like other stringed instruments in the orchestra, it has four strings. But the bass is tuned in fourths, not fifths. That means the strings are four whole steps apart. Fifths wouldn't really work on the bass because it's huge. We'd have to reach super far for our notes, which we already have to do. In fact, it's so big, a lot of professional bass players don't even use a full-size bass.
I was playing like a three-quarter size bass for a long time. And then finally, now I play a 7/8 size, which is almost full size.
That was Gloria Jones, bassist in the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. She's also acting principal there. Along with not smashing the instrument into door frames and finding a large enough vehicle to transport the bass, being big comes with its own special set of problems.
Bass just really doesn't have a lot of volume. Even when there's eight of us back there, it's hard to compete with other instruments in your same register when one tuba player can demolish the sound that eight bass players make. It's just the nature of the instrument. It's a very, very, very difficult instrument, and that's why most of the music for it is so easy compared to other instruments.
That was Michael Kurth, another bassist in the ASO and a composer. So volume is one problem, clarity is another.
The double bass is are the grandfathers of the string family, with heavy, grumbling voices.
Indeed, the physics of bass notes, those low frequencies, are such that the sound waves kind of all jumble together. So essentially, bass players have to compensate and focus on techniques to make their sound seem more intentional.
There's articulations that have to be very clear, like we did Beethoven 4th Symphony this week, and you know, the conductor was saying constantly, short, short. And what I think he's after is for a clarity that sometimes you just simply can't get if you just bow the instrument. But basses do tend to play a little shorter because if we play like dun, 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 we don't go da, 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 that it's not going to come out. Old Italian basses, under the ear, they seem slow. They're luggy kind of sound. But modern instruments seem to cut through really fast, but they're not as loud. So it's kind of a catch-22. You get the clarity, but you don't get the quality.
Clarity, along with intonation or being in tune, make bass notes project, thus aiding volume. But once you have volume, there is still another problem. Richard Pryor is a composer, composition professor at Emory University, and the conductor for the university's orchestra and youth symphony. When asked what he has to tell the bass section most during rehearsals...
Keep up. obviously, the bass section is the furthest from me in the orchestral layout. So generally, I found that our basses, although they do have an impeccable sense of rhythm, they do have to be encouraged to play sort of on the what we would think of as the front edge of the beat or anticipate a little more than perhaps somebody sitting closer.
Even for professional players, keeping up is still a major concern.
We probably follow, I think, closer than probably a lot of the sections. Not that others don't, it's just that we have to be constantly watching. Like when we play a pizzicato, it's got to be boom together, you know, so that people hear it. So it's a challenging instrument, but, you know, as long as you play in tune, that's the challenge. We move about 2 feet for some of our shifts.
With all that in mind, composer Michael Kurth, maybe not bassist Michael Kurth, says it's maybe better to leave the bass out sometimes.
Frankly, and I know a lot of bass players, if any of them hear this, are going to take offense at this, but I don't really like hearing the bass play the melody very often. There was an orchestration textbook that I studied in college that said something that wounded me deeply at the time. It said, the bass is effective in inverse proportion to the amount that it's used. And I thought, that's horrifying. There should be more bass, not less bass. But the more I write, the more I see, if not the wisdom, at least a slight value in that.
What he said isn't as self-deprecating as it could be. The bass still plays an important function in orchestral music. It's not so much a sound, it's a feeling.
And you may not be aware it's there until it's gone. And then you start hearing these really high, you know, pitches of winds and strings. And then the basses will come in and it just like opens up the whole sound.
The true role of the bass is the foundation, the firmament, I always think of it as the sidewalk on which the main character walks. You establish the terrain and the pace. You accompany, you make it possible for the melody to do things it couldn't do if it were on its own. I've always loved the role of the bass as a bass, not necessarily as a melodic solo instrument. I mean, I love playing solo music. I love playing solo Bach especially, but that's just sort of personal gratification. I don't expect anyone else to like to hear it.
But dear listener, you have the privilege of listening to solo bass today.
When you're preparing a student, for instance, to go to a music school, they have to have played very basic pieces. And there's a sonata by Henry Eccles, that's one. Then you've got just your basic Bottesini. Bottesini was a tremendous bass player. He was a soloist and actually composer, conductor. He was amazing.
There are a few other pieces in the bass repertoire.
Dragonetti wrote a concerto, Koussevitzky, Serge Koussevitzky. There's Dittersdorf. We don't really have the repertoire that the cellos, violins have. You know, we're kind of like the violas. We do borrow from the cellos. Bach cello suites, we play those.
Moving into full symphonic pieces, there are a handful of bass solos.
Yeah, in the orchestral repertoire, we have the one that pops into my mind that I've actually played is Mahler First Symphony. It has basically Frère Jacques in a minor key, which does not sound like it would be any problem whatsoever, but it's where it occurs in the piece. It happens right after this loud, fast ending of this second movement. Then that just stops. It just stops and there's dead silence. And, you know, the longer you wait to play it, the worse it gets. And here comes this timpani. So a lot of people play it. They practice doing that beforehand. Might as well try it, right? Here we go. At least it's not up here or anything. You know, Lord help us. It's not down here either. She knows. But it's amazing we have any solos at all.
But perhaps the bass solos aren't so much hard as they are shocking. This is Michael Kurth's take on the Mahler solo.
I think bass players have convinced themselves that it's hard for generations just because it's a solo. But if those notes were in a section part, and it weren't a featured melody, if it were just the bass line of a Brahms symphony or something, you wouldn't think it was the hardest part. It's really not that difficult. But as far as the bass orchestral solo, very short list of well-known solos goes, that's the easiest one.
This is another one of those once in a blue moon solos, Lieutenant Kiji's second movement romance. So obviously, Prokofiev had hope for the bass as a bass, the support, the rhythm, the feeling, but also as a vessel that could transmit messages of love. So, sounding good on the bass is hard, fitting in with an orchestra is hard, and it's hard to come by solo repertoire. But at least, if the world came to an end, the fire made by my instrument would last the longest. For City Lights, I'm Gabby Watts.